1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. 51551 is our text number. It's that time of year again. The Gaeltacht is in full flow, especially with young students. Barbara McDonough. Barbara, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking the call.
And thanks for making the call. What has happened?
Well, my son has gone down to Cloisterlurgan for 3 years, and this year I got a phone call. I had gone down for the Sunday visit, and on Monday morning I got a phone call from the principal to say that he was being expelled.
Okay.
So he said, you can either come down for him or put him on a train. So I was in shock, because he's 3 years down there. He'd never broken any rules.
Okay.
And they know him. And I'd been down there the day before. He'd having a great time. He had like 5 bands on his arm, and he was only there a week and a half. Like, they get bands for doing good stuff and being good students and speaking the language, whatever. He's having a brilliant time. He was, loved it. So I said, so what did he do? So he said he broke curfew. Said he left the house in the middle of the night. Obviously, I was shocked. I said, where did he go? The principal said, don't know. How long was he out for? I said, I don't know. What did he do? I don't know. He knew nothing. He didn't know what had happened. Or so I was in a panic. I said, okay, right. I couldn't get down that day. So I said, I will put him on a train. So I said, oh, well, okay, you'll have to, because he said he can't stay here.
Yeah.
He said, organize a ticket and send it down to me. So I didn't know how to organise the ticket, emailed it, sent a ticket in my name, had to change it, rang them it. And as the day was going, when I was asking what he had done and where he'd been and who he was, how long he was out for, and he didn't know any of this, I said, can I speak to him? He said, no, you can't speak to him. You can speak to him when he's on the train. So I said, okay. So I tried to get in touch with him. He said he hasn't got his phone. So as the day went on then, I was texting him, and he was filling me in on what had happened, what they had done. Now, don't get me wrong, I know he breached curfew, and it is a serious misdemeanour.
Yeah.
But he had never done anything like this before. I was in a panic thinking, where had he gone? I dropped him up this bar in the night before, and there's no lights, and I was thinking, okay, so where on earth had he been? The principal couldn't tell me.
Well, could Alex tell you, your son?
Well, as I was texting him during the day, I was saying, what did you do and where did you go? So literally what they had done, him and another fella had got out they heard a fight going on outside about 1 o'clock in the morning, and they thought it was funny. It was all in Irish, but then the person was in English, and just the two of them decided to go out and have a look and see what was going on. So they stepped out into the garden, down as far as the gate, couldn't see anything, got back in, was on their way back in, and on the gravel, the Farrantee heard them and told them, get the S in, and they said Tabrone or him, they were sorry, they, you know, got back in, and next morning, admitted it was them, that they had done it.
Yeah.
Tried to get to speak to the deputy principal so that they could say that it was them, that they had done that. So they were just asked, like, did you leave the house? And they said, yeah. And the Farrantee said, eat up your breakfast, that's your last supper. The Farrantee told him, that's your last supper. So he'd never had a warning. He thought, like, okay, he knew it was stupid what he'd done and whatever, but he said, he'd never ever had a warning. I didn't know until now that there's a book they're written into. And I had said to when I was talking to the deputy principal, because I rang them that day and I appealed it, I said, look, can you get a warning? Like, he's not like breaking rules all the time. He's never broken rules before. And the deputy principal said, no, it was over his head. He listened, and but I said he's never broken any rules, can he? He said no, because he said we can't treat your son any different to the other fella. The other fella's gone home, and so your son has to go home too. So I said, look, so as I was speaking to Alex, I said, I get the principal to ring you, because they'd brought him to the train station, forgot his luggage, and brought him back. Now, they had their breakfast at about 8 o'clock that morning, Joe. And when he got home to Houston Station at 8 o'clock that night, all he'd had was a sandwich that he bought himself. They were given no food for the whole day. They were allowed 1 bottle of water, no food. I got to speak to the principal, and I was appealing to him to just give him a warning. Just let him, give him a warning. He's not breaking rules all the time. This is your 8th week. You know this kid. And he said, no, he's a lovely kid. He's more than welcome to come back again. They couldn't keep him there this year, but he was more than welcome to come back again. I thought, this is just not right. So And said, Alex, no, is,
to, yeah, Alex is 17, and how much did that?
So he's 17 now.
He's 17 now. He was 16 when it happened last week. Isn't he? His birthday and the last day of July. How much did the course cost?
€980.
And how long does it last for?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. Okay. And how long was left? There was over a week left.
A week and a half left. Okay. So you got half the course.
Okay. Alex is on the line. Alex McDonough. Good afternoon, yes. Alex.
Hi, lovely to talk to you.
Okay, caught a hurley.
Tommy Gamal, I could touch it.
Good. What happened, Alex?
So, about 1 o'clock, there's a fight going on outside our house. They were just giving out. There was talking Irish and a few curses in English. And stupidly, we went to see what it was. We thought it was a bit funny.
All right.
So we left about 1 o'clock. We'd walked to the front of the garden. They'd all left off. They'd all drove off. Turned around to walk back in. Walked on gravel. Farranty heard us. Was like, get in now.
Okay.
Two curses coming from him.
Well, he was very worried. You see, it's his job. It's his safety. Your safety he's worried about.
Oh, no, okay.
So how long were you out of the house for?
5 minutes, 10 minutes, not even.
Okay. And that's the reason. You heard a kerfuffle and you climbed out.
To see what it was.
Were you aware that leaving, it's primarily for safety, that leaving your house after curfew, obviously curfew has a meaning, leaving your house after curfew is an expellable, is an expulsion?
I understand that now, but at the time it was more of a impulse kind of, let's see what it is quickly. It wasn't a good decision, obviously. Like, I've been going there 3 years, I should have known better. But at the time, it was more of a, just let's do this, see what it is quickly, come back into the house.
Where are you now? You're back home now?
Yeah, I'm back home, sadly.
Okay, and how did you get on in the other years you went?
Great. I've been there 3 years now, and haven't gotten through a single time. Even this year, teachers came up to me, said how good my Irish was, how happy I was to be back this year. Like, I went for Kinnera, which is like a job for students to work as. I got Kinnera for B, so it wasn't like my Irish wasn't bad. It wasn't like I was a bad student. I've been there most of my school life.
Okay, bring in Micheál O'Fhill. Micheál, good afternoon.
Cahul to Joseph.
Come on, come on. Are you the principal or the co-owner?
No, I would be classified as being the manager of the commission.
Okay. And what do you think of Barbara and Alex's appeal?
First of all, look, we're a bit tired here today. Tired, but exceedingly proud. And, you know, we had a great time here. We finished 10 weeks into our summer holidays. We finished the course this morning. The 500 students went home this morning. We had a great night here last night. We had Fail to See. We had an outdoor concert. There were at least 500 local people present. It went on for about 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, we all had a great time. And we're a bit astounded at the fact that we don't have many rules here. There are some red line issues, and they're all to do with what they're all common sense, cop on ones. But climbing out a window, Alex, and leaving the Techlosh Dean. You say you were out 5 minutes. That's what you say. As far as I was informed differently, as a matter of fact.
What was the duration you were told about?
Yeah, yes. It's more the well exceeding 5 minutes, exceeding an hour, and more than an hour. And look, we don't have many. Alex and Barbara, like, there's more here. There's more at stake here than your feelings. This is a disciplinary action against. You know, it's you can't trivialise kind of leaving a Techlosh and climbing out a window, and we can't. It's be wholly irresponsible of us to give a clear signal that this kind of misbehaviour is kind of acceptable, and we can't overlook it. And there is more at stake here than, as I said, than yourself and how you feel, because there are quite a number of students here, and as I said, we don't have many rules, but definitely you call it a curfew. It's much more than a curfew. It's leaving Teach Eolaisteen at night time, and you say where they were, we don't know. How long were they out? We don't know. They've stepped outside.
No, but you told me a minute ago you do know how long he was out for, because you said it's longer than 5 minutes.
Yes.
So how long were they out for?
Well, it's well in excess of 5 minutes, well in excess of an hour, as far as
an hour.
Yes.
Okay. Over an hour.
Yes. Okay.
Alex, were you out for over an hour?
No, that's not true. They never asked us what time we left that.
Climbing in and out windows, it's not how you behave in somebody else's house anyway.
No, I completely understand that. But I've been there for 3 years. You've never asked the situation, how it happened, what went down. You're saying I was gone for an hour, which is not true at all.
That's what you say.
No one in the closet even asked you what time I left at. But how can you say I left for an hour when you have no proof I left for an hour? How can you say I left for half an hour?
There were other people in the room.
We tried to explain the situation. We were told, stop talking, we're not listening to you. Sit back down.
I wasn't present, but that's not what I heard. You were given, you said you were given opportunity to speak and then put your...
No, there weren't. No opportunity to speak. He was told, Dún the Veil, Ní Húla Mé,
Dún the Veil.
Dún the Veil, he was told, this was by your deputy principal, he tried to explain, he was told, Dún the Veil, the principal was standing with him, he was in the office, he had the door half open, Dún the Veil, Ní Húla Mé, Sí Síos. For anyone who doesn't understand that's shut your mouth, sit down, I'm not listening to you, sit down. Now, for any principal, deputy principal, teacher, role model, to speak to students in that manner, that is an absolute disgrace. And these are private students that we're paying for. And you think that's okay. Now, where in any of this have I trivialised this misbehaviour? I have not trivialised this in any way, shape or form, and Alex knows that.
Climbing out windows.
I requested documents from you that you didn't furnish. I requested the appeals process that you don't engage in, that you're supposed to engage in. I requested border management members' name. I requested your GDPR information about children there and the ones who are there and have been there previously, because your deputy principal breached the rules and spoke to me
about it.
And your answer to me was that I was trivialising the misbehaviour, which I wasn't, that I am juvenile and irresponsible, which is completely wrong, and being extremely responsible by asking you for the documents that you should be providing me with. You're the one being irresponsible by not providing them, breaching the rules under which you're governed in order to get your capitation grant.
We don't get a capitation grant.
Well, then speak to Bridini Curran from the Department of Gaeltacht, because she told me you get a capitation grant. All of those colleges get a capitation grant.
You need to speak
to Bridini Curran. That's the information she gave me. The rules and regulations under which you're governed, you breached all of them. There was no humanity here. These children were given no drink, no food. They got one bottle of water, no food for the whole day. By the way, I was still paying for that day. They got no food. They were put on show. Your principal told me they're going to make an example of these two boys. I said, surely to God, you're not going to highlight what these two lads have done. You don't want anyone else doing it. No, I'm not. But what you done was you put them in a hallway. The students were allowed to parade past them, but they were not allowed to speak to them or hug them. Even the ones that were upset, they were told, leave them alone, leave them alone. Teachers who wanted to speak to them were told, leave them alone. They were sat there like monkeys in a cage, like criminals.
Oh, God,
they didn't put anyone in danger. They put themselves in danger, nobody else. However, the two lads that boxed the head off each other on Monday evening, one resulting in having to go to hospital for a broken finger, they were allowed to stay. That's also a serious breach of the rules. Why were they allowed to stay there for the rest of their trip? That's discrimination in my eyes.
Discussing your particular case, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay.
You don't know about the two lads who beat them on the Tuesday night.
But we won't go down to there, because I don't know what happened in that other if it happened.
Somebody brought the youngster to the hospital.
Micheál, is there an appeals procedure?
For an appeals procedure, I understand she has engaged with the with Ray and the girls, what we would do, I suppose, we would discuss it here, and we do stand over it. I know, not every, we would stand over over taking a decision in relation to leaving a Sachlochstein in the middle of the night.
Specific process on the website, they say that before they expel a student, there's a specific process engaged in, right? So they're supposed to because with the rules, they're supposed to engage in, they're supposed to give the children or the students an opportunity to speak in English or Irish. So my son wasn't given, afforded any chance to speak at all, regardless whether it was English or Irish.
I don't accept that.
I asked for the report on the specific process that you engaged in, and I was told to stop trivialising this and stop being so juvenile and irresponsible. I gave you a written email of all the points I was appealing.
You did phone ten times in one day, Wildsby.
I'd have a record on my phone as to many times I phoned. I phoned three times and I said to the girl, Hannah, look, it's obvious that Cormac is not going to answer my phone calls here. So I emailed it. So I did phone three times. And you know why I phoned so often? Because time was of the essence at the time and I wanted to see if I could appeal to some kind of sanity down there and get him back on the course. Because every day that he was out, he was missing the course that I paid for.
And Barbara, what do you think of the fact that Alex did leave
he knows it was completely wrong. I was completely shocked because when I got the phone call, if it had been recorded, you would have heard my shock. Like, my shock was, where did he go? What on earth was he doing? I fully supported the clash that it was a serious misdemeanour and that, you know, it was wrong and it was dangerous. And it was, look, for the ban on tea and the fire on tea, they have to know when they lock up that the kids are safe. And I have to know when I'm in Dublin that he's in bed and he's safe. They can't be going down Boreens and down to the beach and doing, I get all of that. But they hadn't got the information for me. As to, that was even more worrying for me until I was able to talk to him because I was thinking,
okay, where let, was let me he? Bring, they said it was... Let me bring Orla. Stay there, Barbara and Michal. Okay. Orla and Alex. Orla Murray, Orla, your point, please.
Basically, Joe, my point is I'm actually surprised at this mother. I'm actually surprised Barbara's been given air time. I'm the mother of three teenagers, all of whom have been to the Gael talk. My daughter was actually in Lurgan. Fantastic college, was really well run. But when you go out to the induction meeting that everybody must go to and must attend, the rules and regulations are very clear, Joe. These are the rules. This is what we have to do. If you have 500 or 600 kids, you cannot allow everyone to run riot. Now, whether the child was out for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, he left the house. They're very clear. That's gross misconduct. Sorry, you're gone. You cannot have... If an exception was made for him, an exception is made for the child that's gone for 20 minutes or 30 minutes. If something had happened to him while he was out of the house, Barbara, you would have been the first one out of the collage to say...
I'm not disputing that he left the house and that it was a serious misdemeanour. I'm disputing that there is absolutely no appeals process available.
They are governed by
rules laid down by the Department of Education and Skills and the Department of the Gaeltacht. And let me correct you on that one. This is his third year down there and I've never gone to an induction course. It's not compulsory.
Well, maybe you should have, because that's very clear. They're very clear on the rules. This is what happens. This is what's acceptable.
There's no compulsory induction course.
If the rules are broken, this is what will happen. You will be sent home. And it's very clear. And maybe you should have gone to the induction course and you would have known that. But it's very, very clear if the rules are broken. Now, I know what you're saying, and I can understand you're annoyed for your son, etc. And he had been a good boy up until then. But he did break the rules. And to me, as a parent, we have to try and instill in our children that there is consequences to actions.
He's very aware that there's consequences to his actions. He knows. He arrived back here within 24 hours. He knows the consequences to his actions, and I know the consequences to it. And I am under no illusion that he can get away through the world. But what I'm saying is every single rule has an appeal. If a child is going to a regular school here, and they break their serial rule. And they get expelled. If they do something really serious, they still can appeal that expulsion. All rules can be appealed.
At the end of the day, these children are staying in people's homes.
Okay, no. And the other thing as well is Barbara, that the stay is of relatively short duration, so an appeals procedure could take a bit of time. Let me bring in Mary Tough.
It's supposed to turn around in a day, they say.
Mary Tough, 51551 Joe at rt.ie. Mary Tobin.
Hello, Joe. How are you? Good. I am definitely against that lady. As an ex-teacher myself, it's so, so difficult to keep, to keep children away from danger and so on. And that that boy that left the cha, you know, was in the wrong. And there should be no appeal for that. Quite dangerous. if anything happens that, or any student coming out from the house that they're staying in, those people that are looking after them would be in a terrible state if they had, you know, if they found that the pupil had disappeared. What was he doing, for goodness sake? I know he was good for 3 or 4 years, but you don't leave a house like that out a window. That is the most dangerous thing to do. I mean, what was that mother even trying to get an appeal? No, there should be no appeal in that case at all.
Sure, if he committed murder, he'd be able to stand up in a court and say his part.
We're not talking about murder. We're talking about a student leaving. You know, you had a lot to say. I just want to
say, you're right, he's not. We're not talking about murder.
Please, if you don't mind.
We're talking about a misdemeanor.
It was a very dangerous thing to do.
And he should have been allowed to speak.
As a teacher,
Mary, you say as a teacher, but in school, you're in. In school, there is, every school, there is an appeal system.
I know, but that's a very dangerous thing, Joe, to go out. If something happened to him, there'd be no appeal then, would there be? If he was kidnapped or if he had an accident.
Yeah, but he was turning 17. So, he's not a toddler.
I know.
So do you think, Mary, people should be silent?
There are rules and regulations, and when you go to the induction, you are told all of those.
And there should be an appeals process. There's rules and regulations that we have.
There are rules and regulations
that we have to abide by, and there's also rules and regulations that the class have to abide by.
I'm honestly convinced that you are just, you know, that you don't realise of what was done down that school.
I do.
Principals and vice principals work very hard with around 600 children at a time. Trying to keep them safe and trying to do the work with them and try to do everything.
So do you think the answer to it is
coming out?
Do you think the answer is shut your mouth?
Excuse me. And then you have somebody coming out a window at night, putting danger before them, and also causing trouble to the people that own the house that they're staying in. Now that's the way I feel about it.
You think the answer is shut your mouth, sit down? That's what you think is shut your mouth, sit down, and not listen to you. Is that what you think? That's what's right. That the principal or the deputy principal should have said to him, "Doon the veil, ni hula mei, si she is."
And you think that's the answer? That everyone there. We live in a democracy.
Okay, Mary, thanks, Anita. That's Mary Tobin. Okay, let me bring in Sinead Gallagher. Sinead. Go ahead, Sinead.
Hi. Two points. One is my daughter's on her way home from the bus from Lurgan right now. She's at the time of her life. Mm-hmm. 3 fabulous weeks. I met Micheál, the man there on the radio, an absolute gentleman. Their care down there was utterly second to none. My daughter at one point needed a GP service and I had to email them at 11:30 at night. They emailed me back at 11:40 p.m. I thought they'd get back to me the next morning. I couldn't believe it was so tightly run, so well organised. The kids have had an absolute ball. That's number one. Absolute gentleman. Mm-hmm. All the staff, fabulous. And, you know, all our kids are capable of doing something wrong, but I think sometimes you just have to suck it up and accept it. But our culture now is let's blame, let's blame, let's shout GDPR, let's email, appeal. Your kid's done something wrong, they've to go. And I'm quite glad that they were very, very clear and very strict at the induction. Here's the things that are red carded and off you go. And I think it's terrible that that man is being asked about all of these. Yes, they have policy and procedures. I've no doubt they have. But really, it doesn't negate the fact the child did wrong, but he's a child. Take him home. He'll learn from it. And don't be bombarding this man on such a busy summer, having done so, so well. The child left the house, shouldn't have left the house. You go home. End of story. And it's a wonderful place. And my daughter will have memories forever.
And that's exactly what I would have said to you last year. My son had 2 and a half great years there until there was one rule broken, no warnings, no appeal, nothing. He had, because wait till your child breaks the rule and see if you sing that same hymn.
Oh, look, we all go to that default, who can we blame, because my child, this, my... Of course, it's natural to be upset, it's natural to go to that, but really, what's it doing? Nothing. It's showing your child you did something wrong, there's consequences, not... I'll jump in and start quoting rules and regulations. Do you know, there's no need for that.
The rules and regulations are there for equality, so people are treated equally and fairly. That's why we have rules and regulations.
He left the house.
So people are treated fairly. But they're not being treated fairly.
He made a mistake. Listen,
Sinead.
He made a mistake, and that's the end of it.
I don't dispute he made a mistake. There is no
dispute
that he made a mistake.
You know, give Lurgan credit where credit's due. There's 500 children's safety.
There's no dispute about making a mistake. We know he made a mistake. He knows he made a mistake.
So he had to leave, which is a shame.
He wanted to be still down there. There should have been due process, and I shouldn't have been told I was being irresponsible and juvenile just because I asked for documents that should have been freely available to me.
But sure, what odds? What odds? He still left the house. He still made a mistake. So all of our over-parenting saying, let me get the rules and the quotes and all the rest of it, it doesn't make any difference. Your child did wrong, and that's all in this one instance.
But the other children who did wrong, who made a serious misdemeanor, boxed their head off each other in front of everybody else,
I've made my point. I think Lurgan are fabulous. We need to learn that when our children make mistakes, they have to go on with it.
Okay,
you
thanks.
Know, and well done to them. Well done to them. Fabulous place.
Thanks, Sinead. 51551 in a safe home. And Ryan, Anne, your point, please, Anne.
Hello, Joe. This is Anne here.
Yes.
I agree wholeheartedly with Barbara. The Bannenty House should have a night duty system. It's utmost important in today's generation we are living in that one, either Bannenty or Farranty, would be able to stay up at night, which I would do quite happily, and look after those children. I mean, I pity that young lad. He's quite right. He was most entitled to his stay. And to have no person on duty for the night. Yes.
Well, Micheál O'Fhill is still there. Micheál, is there a system of nighttime supervision? Micheál gone, okay. 51551. Let me take a break, get more people after this. 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Justin Micheál O'Fhill, the co-owner and manager of Colossal Organ. Is there a nighttime supervision system?
Nighttime? Look, Teilhóistín are ordinary families. Nighttime supervision? Well, I suppose there was, because Farranty did notice that when they were coming back into the Teilhóistín. So yes, that worked quite well, I must admit.
Okay, and you contest that Dún de Vail means shut your mouth. It also has softer meaning.
No, but I contest that was the kind of the boys didn't have an opportunity to talk or to speak or to make their case. I contest that strongly.
Okay, Anne Ryan, Anne, your point, please. 51551.
Yes. No, I think the boys were treated very unfairly. They had nobody supervising them during the night. I mean, either the Farranty or the Bannenty, which I would do happily, supervise them.
Yeah, but Anne, the Farranty did actually catch them.
But it's
that's why they were expelled, because they were caught. That
it looks to be a little late. There should be a security system, I think.
In an ordinary house.
Pay good money. Yes, but when I supervised my children here as they were growing up, I would have.
Yeah, but Anne, you didn't stay up all night. Well, I know, fair to say, waiting
your
on
own children,
waiting for
your
them
own
to come
children,
home. I know, but
your
that's...
own children, you do know them better, and you have a certain trust. Now, there were times that I would have had visitors, cousins in, and I can tell you, over the summers and years gone by, I gladly stayed up till 3 o'clock till those children would have been.
I know, every parent
asleep, did. I would
but
have been,
Anne,
yes.
do you think Colossal Logan were correct in expelling Alex and another boy for leaving the house for a duration at night time?
No. Totally wrong, and I empathise with that lady, Barbara.
What should they have done?
They should have been allowed to speak and given the chance. And
well, Micheál is adamant they were allowed to speak. I know the...
But I think they should have got a second chance, because the Bannenty House is without a nighttime duty. I mean, that lady from Dublin left off those children to that house expecting... The Bannenty House would be responsible for those children and youngsters.
But the course,
16,
yeah, but Anne, the course works out at €300 a week, and as for food and accommodation and tuition and trips and all that carry on, you hardly expect that to include a security car at night time.
Well,
in the times we're living in, from year to year, that probably would have been okay in years gone by. But we're moving on every year, and I think, I think if I had that position, I would have got a person.
Okay, Barbara wants to go back in. Go ahead.
Joe, can I just say something here?
Barbara, yes.
I'm not disputing that he broke curfew or that it was not serious. That's not up for dispute here. My issue is how they were dealt with, and they were given no dignity. There's no humanity in the way they were dealt with. They weren't allowed to speak. Yeah. They weren't allowed to explain. The fire on tea.
Well, Micheál says they were allowed it.
The principal who phoned me that morning, which was at 11 o'clock, couldn't tell me where they were, how long they were out. That was my worry, that he couldn't tell. They shouldn't have left. I understand that. But I was dealt with a slanderous email, and I was told we're not dealing with this anymore. There is no peace process. His father was told his father phoned them that day, and he spoke to the deputy principal. He said, how do we appeal this? He said, no, we don't have an appeals process. There's no appeals process. Now,
I can understand that Micheál is running a perfectly organised Irish court, but he had to look in this generation. I mean, you do have to step up security and youngsters' responsibility. Mm-hmm. That is utmost important.
And Micheál, how many cases of immediate expulsion have you dealt with in the last 3 years?
Sorry?
How many cases of immediate expulsion have you?
What do you mean immediate? How many
expulsions have you had in the last 3 years?
You talk about these things as being expulsions. We talk about them as kind of returning the children to the care of their parents.
Okay,
that's what we call it.
I'm just telegramming. Yes.
So, they're few and far between. They're few and far between. But there are cases where we feel that we have to return students.
Have there been any other asking people to leave before the course is over this year?
But off the top of my few and far between, I wouldn't know, really.
There's been none this year apart from the two lads?
I wouldn't say none, but it's not something that I'd have...
It's a pretty serious sanction for a serious charge, by the way, a serious offence.
Has anyone else been
sent home with immediate effect?
I'm talking about the last eight weeks, the season. There have been a number of cases where we would ask parents to come and collect their... For various reasons. We wouldn't call them expulsions as such.
Well, would some of them be medical reasons?
No, look, there are a whole range of reasons. We deal with quite a number of people, and people are complicated. No two cases are the same. But we are accustomed to, thankfully, a very high level of cooperation and participation. And usually in cases like this, when we do contact parents, as a matter of fact, the parents of the other child came and collected their child.
Okay.
And what does that mean? Why has that been highlighted?
I'm not saying it's highlighted. I'm just saying it's a fact.
No. Why are you saying that? In fact, I couldn't collect my child for personal reasons.
Yeah, but
I had driven down on a round journey, and I had a particular reason why I wasn't expecting to get that phone call. By the way, and I wasn't expecting it to be so immediate. He can't stay here. I'll put him on a train. That's what I was told. I was in a panic at that moment. So, the other parents were in a different situation. I'm a single parent. I had to work really hard to get that money together to give you almost €1,000. And it's very, very easy for you to expel these children on a whim because you lose nothing. You have that money and you can keep that money.
Look, if it's a question of money, we have no problem in returning your money to you. If it's a question of money, we have no problem in returning your money to you.
And so why didn't you return it when you were sending him home? You didn't even buy him his train ticket. I had to buy his train ticket even though I had paid for transport down and back for him.
He said, Cormac, your story gets changing all the time.
Cormac said to me, I'll put him on a train, send me the ticket. I said, how do I do that? And he said, you buy it on the train station and email it to me. That's what he said. Buy it on Irish Rail and email it.
I didn't
volunteer anything like that. I didn't want him home because I wanted him to continue.
Okay, let me bring in Grace.
I thought he was being unjustly treated.
And by the way, Alice is more than welcome to return at any stage.
And I'll give you another €1,000.
No, look, Alex, you're more than welcome to come back. next year.
But you couldn't be responsible for him this year. He's paid his fine, it's done and dusted, it's been cleared.
We can start over again. We've no problem starting over again.
That's just ridiculous. You couldn't keep him there. Because you couldn't be responsible for his behaviour, but you could be responsible for his behaviour in the future.
Something you don't get, this is not about you. It's not about Alex. This is about all the other students attending a course at Gaeilge.
It is not acceptable
to climb out windows of Vitech Lochstein in the middle of the night.
It's not about that. It never has been. It never will be. It's about the injustice of the way the children were
same thing again, same thing would happen.
Grace Lauder is on.
Let me bring Grace in.
Grace, your point, please. You worked as a kindergarten in the Gaelic on the Aran Islands.
Do you agree with the show, sir?
Come on.
So I went to the Gaeltacht. So I'm quite pro Gaeltacht. I didn't go to Lurgan. I went to the Gaeltacht all through secondary school. And I was a kindergarten there myself when I was 17, 18. I also would work with young people and would be very involved with the scouts as well. And the one thing, I mean, I'm not making small of what he did. I mean, it's fairly serious in anyone's, you know, if I was away with the scouts or anyone else and a child snuck out at 19, that's a serious misdemeanour. And, you know, is it worthy of being sent home? Maybe. The one thing that I was worried about in this is the lack of due process. And as that mother mentioned there, I have no reason to believe that young man, Alex, you seem like a fairly pleasant young man that was on the phone. I have no reason to believe that he was lying. And I don't think anyone else listening would, in that he wasn't asked too much about why did you leave the house and how long did you leave the house for and all that kind of thing. And the one big worry I had as well is why was that mother not allowed to speak to him in this process? That would worry me. Because what that would suggest to me is...
I asked to speak to him.
And you were refused?
Yeah.
Now, that is hitting an alarm bell for me.
I'll just finish my point, Micheál.
Not making small of the, you know, the rules of the rules and whatever he did, but, Jesus, when I'm away with kids or have a problem with behaviour, the first person I involve is the parents, but you speak to the parents with the child to figure out what happened. Because if you do not have due process, you know, what message is that sending to a young person?
Well, the one message we want is that if you climb out windows in the middle of the night, it is not acceptable. That's the one message.
How we climbed out windows, that part dealt with. But in your rules, it states that you have a due process. You have that due process, an appeals process. And, you know, I don't think that young man is lying, and I don't think this mother is lying.
But he said he climbed out the window. He's not saying he didn't climb back in again.
You did admit that.
Yes, he volunteered that information.
Did he not volunteer because he was caught?
Look, we've had a long day here, and look, Joe, I'm going to have to leave you at this work bond because we've had a very long day, and we want to get ready for tomorrow's course. Okay.
Okay. Good, Margaret.
Can I just finish there, Barbara?
I want to bring John Cook in, who is a fire and tea in Colossal Organ. John Cook, good afternoon.
Joe, how are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good afternoon to everybody. I'm just listening to the conversation here with a little bit of incredulity. I've worked in two sides of the fence, if you like. I've been a Munsor with a Ross College years and years ago, but I've also worked, as you know, we've had students this year in the house. And the responsibility that the parents have and that the parents, that the fire team and the banner team feel when the students are in the house is huge. I mean, the students for Courses C went home last night. I was up, and my wife, we were up until 4 o'clock in the morning to make sure that no students went out. Now, we couldn't do that. Somebody suggested earlier that we should be doing that every night. A course is 23 nights or 22 nights.
Okay.
You couldn't do that every single night. You're trusting that the students will stay, will go to bed and stay in bed. And a student who's 16 or 17, you're hoping they'll take responsibility for their actions. I know as a fire team, and if I felt that students were leaving the house in the middle of the night, and where we live in Connemara is a beautiful, beautiful area, but unfortunately, it's also an extremely dangerous area.
Okay, John, are you currently a fire and tea in Colossal Organ?
This year we're fire and tea in Colossal Organ, yes.
Okay, are you aware of anyone else being sent home immediately for any misdemeanour?
I'm not aware because, you know,
it's a relatively small community. You would hear.
Oh, you'd hear.
Yeah. So have you heard of anyone else being sent home immediately?
No, I haven't heard of anybody else being sent home immediately. But from my point of view as Farrantee, I would feel very uncomfortable if a student was going to leave my house in the middle of the night while that student being in the house, if I felt I couldn't trust them.
Yeah, and
I think that's very, very important.
And that was my conversation with my son. I said, you know, the Farrantee and the Banantee have to know that when they go to bed that you're going to stay where you are. Like, I'm not dismissing or diminishing the importance of what he done. Okay. I fully understand that. If I had children here in my house, I would want to know.
Alex is back on the line. Alex.
Hi, yeah. I completely understand what happened. I'm owning up to the fact that I did leave, and I understand how much I got in trouble for it. It wasn't a good thing to do at all. But it was just that we never had a chance to explain ourselves or even get
back in. Did you apologise? Did you say go on Leshka?
I apologised 100,000 times. I said brown arm constantly. Yep. But when I tried to explain myself what happened, the situation with me and my friends, they just wouldn't let us speak. I've been there 3 years and I've enjoyed the course for 3 years. And I've offered to be kinner for B. It's not as though I don't like Irish and I'm always getting in trouble. I love the course I've been there for. Like, it's like a haven for me. But they just wouldn't give us a chance. And I can't want to go back next year after the way they treat my family, my mum, me, even not giving us food or water. Like, that is just not humane.
Well, you've been offered a free course next year.
I wouldn't feel comfortable and they wouldn't really treat me fairly.
Joe, I wouldn't blame him for not going back. I mean, he did what he did and he owned up to it, and that has to count for something.
That's great.
It's the fact that he wasn't given due process. I mean, the young fella apologised. It doesn't. I'm inclined to believe him.
This is great. Yeah, another kinner. John Cook, you weren't Alex's kinner, Alex's Farrantee, were you?
No, I wasn't.
And were you aware? No, did you hear to the grapevine that two lads have been sent home the other night?
I didn't. And even though it's a small community,
we're
preparing meals and cleaning the house and that during the day. And we're up late at night to make sure the students are in and the students are well catered for. But I suppose, you know, the bottom line for us, for me as far as, I only speak for myself, obviously, as far as we want the students to be safe in our house. But we also want to feel, you know, when I go to sleep at night at 12 o'clock or whatever it is, that I'm not going to be woken up at 3 or 4 in the morning because a student has gone out the window and has fallen or tripped over a pothole or over a stone wall or something and is injured or worse. When we have students in our house, that's the responsibility that I feel as far as team. Those students, we had 11 students in each of the courses we had this year. And, you know, it's a huge responsibility when those... And if we can't... If you feel you can't trust the student, particularly a student who's 12 or 13, you might give them a little bit of leeway. But somebody who's 17, who's there for 3 years, who knows that the rule is there, and if you give any bit of leeway with those rules, you'll have students going out... You know, all the time.
Yeah, but the issue here was not about the rule or the rule being wrong. The issue was about the way the two lads were treated. They owned up. We acknowledged that it was a serious misdemeanour. It was putting everybody, it was inconvenience everybody, maybe putting themselves at risk. The Banantee and the Farrantee, I've said it before, they have to be able to relax. They're working all day. When they go to bed, they have to know you're staying there. We're not disputing that. The lads owned up to it. They actually went forward to say that was us that did that. Like, they could have just, you know, ran the Farrantee at the Gambit and let them try and work out who was it. Let them investigate it. They owned up. They said it was us. We did it. They went to the...
Barbara has... I don't want to put Alex on the spot, but have you ever had to intervene in day school, so to speak, on Alex's behalf?
Once I did before.
Do you want to tell me about it?
A serious bullying issue. But that this is not about his day school.
I know, but was he a victim or a perpetrator?
A victim.
Oh, God.
Serious victim.
I'd be reacting to both positions, but I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that. And I said, oh, God, but I'd also be, oh, God, if you told me he was a perpetrator, because that's awful.
No, I'm sorry to hear. He wouldn't hurt a fly.
Did you resolve that issue?
The guards did, okay.
5-1-2, stay with us. 51551.
Okay.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
And Joe, there's my 51551 and Joe at RT.ie. Brendan, good afternoon. Your point, please. We Alex McDonough and another chap are expelled from Colossia, Lorgan. They're on a three-week course, Gael talked, to €900, about a week and 2 days to go. Was expelled for leaving the house, he says, for 5 minutes because he heard a kerfuffle outside. They got out the window and then got back in, but they were caught. Brandy, your point, please.
Well, 3 points, really, very, very briefly.
Okay.
First one is that there are two separate issues here. Mm-hmm. One is how the college would deal with a child leaving accommodation in the middle of the night. That would have to be taken extremely seriously, and I entirely agree that it would mean expulsion without any appeal. I mean, you might hold an appeal, but you would tell the child in advance, and apparently they did, that this was an expulsion event. And we can understand that, because if a child was killed or injured on the road in the middle of the night, nobody knowing where he was, the college would be found completely at fault, and quite properly. So I can understand that. The second thing is that procedures really are for the family and the school, because the rest of us don't really know what happened, don't really know what the procedures were, don't really know. From what I heard at the beginning, Alex seemed to be very well liked by the college. They seemed very sorry that they had to expel him. It was only the nature of the offence that caused him to be expelled, but they sounded as if they were very sorry. He sounds as if he was a grand lad. And do you know, Joe, my final point is this. One of these fine days, he'll dine out on that. He'll laugh at it. He will. This will be a story he'll tell. Ah, yeah,
but Brandy, he's been expelled. He feels humiliated. He is upset. That's like saying, I was lucky to be knocked down 10 years ago because I can talk about it now and dine out.
No,
you know what
no,
I mean?
No, Joe. That's not the case.
It's an unfortunate incident.
Very unfortunate. And I am deeply sorry for him. I'm the greatest.
What do you think of the college's offer, Micheál O'Fhill's offer, that he can come, which in one sense is in the form, the family have made an appeal here today. Micheál has said, okay, what I'll do is next year he can come for the 3 weeks and he won't have to pay the £900 and he'll come as our guest.
Well, it says two things to me. It says to me that they like this boy, he is a good lad. And it says to me that this is actually the only offer they can now make. But the real thing I would take from it, if I was that child's mother, is that they're saying, this is a good lad. We're happy to have him back.
He is a good lad. While they were expelling him. They told me that while they were expelling him, that he's a really good lad. And I asked them to just give him a warning. So I know what you're saying, Brenda, like that this is a serious misdemeanour and there should be no appeal. But the rules under which they're governed says there has to be an appeal. And there are rules, they are governed under these rules laid down by the Department of the Gaels and the Department of Education and Scales. It's okay for you to say that there shouldn't be an appeals process. There is an appeals process. They refuse.
But you
to
see, in one sense, Barbara, you've gone, is it fair for me to say that you've gone through the appeals process today and just let me finish. And that the decision of the college is, okay, they stand by the decision to ask him to leave immediately, but as a gesture, they're prepared to say, we will welcome him back next year and we will actually cover the €900.
Yes, and I tell you, he'll be one very popular lad if he goes back next year.
Why is that, Brenda?
Because people like people who've been a little bit naughty. I mean, he paid his penance and all is now well. It's all forgiven. It's all done and dusted. It's a terrible pity for this year. And yes, you should get your money back for the remainder of the course. Yes, you should. Absolutely.
Okay, Sarah O'Connor, your point, please, Sarah. Thank you, Brenda.
I just want to say that Micheál O'Fhill acquitted himself very well. The rules are rules, and this boy broke them. I know there's no dispute about that. But I would just like to put in this one point that when children go out windows of bedrooms at night, sinister things can happen to them. And if that had happened, like drowning, falling on a spike, lots of negative...
Why are you sighing, Barbara?
No, excuse me. I just like to finish.
Who's sighing?
Sorry.
Nobody's
sighing. I just want to say that a very different conversation would be we would be having now. I would just like to say that missing 1.5 weeks Irish college is not that bad compared to what might have happened. And the last thing I'd like to say is that people who break the rules are such an extremely important safety rule, health and safety rule. And there's a lot more to this than the money, GDPR and all those systems. That's a different matter. But the real safety rule here is, and he's a mature boy and he has had the experience of being there before is that something terrible could have happened. And we now, and we have experiences of that around the world these days of young children, teenagers and all of that going missing or whatever and it's very sad. But my last thing is...
Okay, but Sarah, you'd never let your...
That boy cannot stay there with... He needs to go away because he needs to have a deep learning in this issue. Just give him a warning and all of that, that's not deep learning. Deep learning is a process, and he's going through the process now, as is his mom. A very generous offer for next year, whether he'll take it up or not, is another matter.
Well, he said no.
But that's in the heat of the moment.
Okay, Sarah, go to me tomorrow.
There should be some learning. Is there to be no learning for the Cláiste in the way they've handled this at all? No learning. It's all for...
I'm sure they do,
Alex has had lots of learning in this, and I've had lots of learning in this, but I think the Cláiste need to review the way they handle these issues.
I think they have learned, because they've been there before.
I didn't hear them saying at any stage that they could have handled this differently, or they may have, you know,
But I do think that maybe that will come. You know, this is just a very quick sort of time now.
These are
supposed
to be professionals now. These are
I know.
I
would say one thing. If he was at home with you and he got out the window at night and you were asleep, and if he broke that rule at home, it would be a very, very serious matter. I mean, he could...
Oh, I know it's serious. I'm not denying it's serious. I'm talking about how it was handled.
I think they have come a long way, but it's that I thought he was very, very good, and obviously they like the boy. He's
Points are made. Okay, Sarah Gurryman, Margaret, Olive Kiley, Olive, your point, please.
Listen, I came on the phone initially to give some support to the mum there because it was a bit one sided, but thank God now the show is balanced up now, and the mum is getting a lot of empathy from the callers. It was the whole treatment of her son. It's an absolute disgrace. That's the point the mum is making. And for her to have to come on public airways and discuss this, she obviously was treated very, very badly in the first place. And if she had been treated a little bit better in the initial stage when this happened, she wouldn't have had to come on this show and vent her frustration and her disappointment on how the whole situation was handled. And I think that's the point that has to be made here. It's not what Alex did. It was the way it was handled by so-called professionals.
Well, they are professionals.
But in how they dealt with the boy, insisting that he goes home right now, and all this attitude as if he was some criminal, like that he had murdered someone, like, it's ridiculous, Joe. And until they start stepping up to the plate and treating these situations on a much more balanced way, you're going to get calls like this all the time. And fair play to the mother. Barbara, is that her name?
Yeah, Barbara.
Fair play to you, Barbara. I concur in everything you say, and it's not what Daleks did. It was the whole way it was treated by the college. And I think
Could have been handled completely differently.
Oh, absolutely, from day one. But you see, this happens all the time. It happened my daughter as well a few years ago. This is the usual thing that happens in the colleges. You know, that we're outsiders and we know nothing about the running, and we're not even asked about anything. You know, you just bring them home, get them out of here, stick them on a train, and it's just disgraceful.
Okay. Kieran, before the break, Kieran, your point, please.
Hi, Joe. I was listening there. I came into it late, and I'm not going into the merits and demerits of what happened, but your comment about would the parent be expected to, like, have secure car on there? Yeah. I wouldn't like to send a child of mine to any of these places if I thought that they weren't supervised by night. I mean, if you stay in a hotel or a guest house, there's always somebody on the door.
Yeah, but a guest house has volume, or a hotel has volume, and secondly, you'll pay a lot more than £300 a week in a hotel or a guest house.
No, I accept that, Joe, but like, I'm sure if the people were asked to pay another £50 a week for security, they'd be much better at home if their kids were being supervised by night. I mean, maybe if there was somebody there supervising it, the lead wouldn't have gone out the window, and I'm not taking the merits or demerits of it. I'm saying, if I would certainly think if one of my kids were going down to the Gaeltacht, I'd love to know that they're being minded by
Kieran,
night.
It's a fire,
Joe.
Okay. I presume... I presume that the number one issue in any household, and in any in households where there's a number of teenagers, the number one priority is fire. Is fire safety? I presume so. With the fire, I know they have to have fire escapes and fire blankets and fire extinguishers. So, but I, Ciarán, I would that not put the cost of it through the roof? You say 50 quid extra a week. I don't
no,
think
per person. I'm saying no.
Per person. Yes. Yeah, so yeah, but that would be, say there's seven in a house. That's 350 quid extra, but that wouldn't cover a security guard. Well, 12 hours. You know,
well then maybe it's got to be 100 quid. But what I'm saying is, and I'm not saying everybody could afford that, but I certainly think that you shouldn't. Well, I certainly
like a number. Yeah, well, you want to make the. You want to make the Gaeltacht affordable as well, and it's expensive enough. I know it, compared to other 3 week breaks, it's not as expensive, but it is. You want to try and make it accessible to as many young people as possible. Thanks, Ciarán. Lisa, I'll take a break. I have to take the break. 51551.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Is Seamus there? Seamus, we're talking about a young chap called Alex, just turned 17, sent home with immediate effect from the Gaeltacht because he left the house he was staying in. He says for 5 minutes, other people say for much longer. He got out through a window when he heard a kerfuffle, he said, and then he got back in where he was caught, and he was immediately sent home or expelled. Seamus, your point please, and his mother is vigorously appealing it. Seamus, your point please.
Yeah, Joe, I came in late to the programme there, and I don't understand why she's appealing it. I work in a school. I've worked in a school for the last 20 years. I deal with parents like Barbara. Luckily, over the summer, I'm not dealing with them. Parents like this that have issues with discipline issues and are appealing and constantly coming in, talking about discipline issues. And these are causing problems for the kids in the future. And I see these kids going on to do their leaving cert and leaving school, and these kids are dropping out in society because of parents similar to Barbara. But these parents need to take a step back. Will start appealing decisions like this because they are causing a lot of detrimental effects to their children.
In what way, James?
In a way that the kids feel that they're right. And the kid, this Alex here was not right for 1 minute. He was not right in this situation. But Cláiste de Lorgan acted responsibly and acted rightly so.
And what is Barbara creating or rearing in your view if she appeals?
Absolutely. In my view, really, it's creating kids that feel that they do no wrong in society. They do no wrong, and that they in life they will go into jobs like that. They will go to college, and they will feel everybody else is where they have a right to appeal every decision. Unfortunately, in life, you don't have. That is not the way it works. Our society and the Gaeltacht. For me, I worked in the Gaeltacht probably 15 years ago at the start of my career, and I found I work in an all Irish secondary school as well, and I find in Dublin, and I find in the all Irish.
And do you think in this day and age of emails and quick communication and people very cognizant of their rights, which is a good thing, do you think the parents are appealing too much?
Absolutely, and getting too involved in it's black and white. As the lady said earlier on in the programme, the rules were laid down from day one. I'm sure Barbara got a copy of the rules when she signed up to that cloister, and she knew what, and her son knew what the rules were. They knew rightly so. If they had left for 5 minutes or 5 hours,
and the appeal system that she spoke about, you're saying there should not be an appeal system.
I don't think there should be at all. Absolutely not at all, because I don't see why there. What is the reason for it? I assume it's the same in Cláiste de Lorgan. I've been down there with my son. There 2 or 3 years ago, and it is absolutely run so well, and the number of students coming in there, and the work they've done over the last number of years for the Irish language is amazing, and I can't believe.
Barbara, what do you think of Seamus' point that you're creating?
I'd like to know what he means when he says parents like me. What he doesn't know me. What are parents like me?
Well, from what I'm hearing, I deal with parents. Like, luckily, not over the summer, I don't deal with them. And we have a great school, and I work in a great school. But I deal with a number of parents, a small percentage, on
like
a weekly
me.
Basis.
So,
absolutely.
Explain. Explain that.
That you're appealing a decision, you know, rightly so, if your son had left the cloister, had left the room at night, that is wrong.
I didn't listen to the show. Okay, go ahead.
I'm glad I didn't listen to all the show, actually, because I didn't. I've listened to enough of it from what I've heard.
Well, then
I deal with parents like you on a weekly. Our rules are our rules, and they're black and white, Barbara. And if you were next to the rules,
can I speak now? Can I speak?
You can speak now, Ian. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thank
please.
You. Thank you. I know the rules are there, and I know they're there for a reason. The rules were there for the students and the parents. I'm not disputing the rule. I'm disputing the manner in which the two lads were dealt with. Okay? I am not disputing that he had to be expelled. I'm disputing the fact he never broke a rule before that. He never had any warnings. Okay. And the manner in which he was dealt with. The rules are there for us, but the cloister also have rules by which they are supposed
okay, let's,
to be
let Seamus reply to finish. To. Go ahead, Seamus.
It's like if I'm out on the road and I'm speeding around my mobile phone, you know, I pulled over there on my mobile phone. Is the guard going to say to me, and I can know that maybe that's a bit extreme, when I'm, is the guard going to say to me, well, Seamus, this is your first time on your road, or your first time, we'll let you off.
Okay, we'll
give you
the 3 points. Seamus,
you'll probably get penalty points.
Absolutely. I'm going to get a fine as well.
But Seamus, what should Barbara have done?
Barbara should have just taken it on the chin and relied that her son had done wrong and just relaxed. And I'm not sure about the way he was sent home and that. I'm not going to go into that.
The fact that the college have asked him that he's welcome back next year guest.
I wouldn't, if I was the college, I wouldn't have done that, but fair play to them. But I wouldn't, you know, because if it's a student.
Okay. Barbara, are you going to take up that offer? Alex said no already, didn't he?
He said no, he doesn't want it. I don't think I trust it, to be honest with you. I think what Seamus is saying, that I should just keep my mouth shut and that we shouldn't ever, you know, buck the system. We should just take whatever is given to us. But we live in a democracy. We have freedom of speech, and that's exactly what I'm exercising
but
here.
What are you doing to your son, Barbara? What are you going to do to your son in the long term?
You don't have to worry about my son. My son
absolutely.
Is fine. You heard him speaking
on
the radio.
I don't.
He's very educated and he's
absolutely.
Very articulate.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be worried about my son.
Okay.
You don't worry about those children you're teaching because you don't seem to like their parents.
I've just said a small percentage of them, like yourself, I find I find them difficult to deal with.
Well, you do say in your column,
we all have to deal with difficult people in life.
You say parents want to appeal everything these days.
Some parents, Joe.
Seamus. Good evening, Margaret, Lisa.
Barbara.
All the people that didn't get to Barbara McDonough, 5-1, and Alex as well, and me, Olive Veal. 5-1, 551.